I'm here and I'm very, very impressed. It's a little unfortunate that I didn't know how nice it is. I would come yesterday and explore it more. I got a reasonable number of emails with questions. Most of the questions were about things which I didn't talk yet. So hopefully I will be, and it will be clear after my second hour. You are all welcome to continue to ask emails for this question, clarification, even after my second talk. I promise to answer. So, the last slide of first hour was this slide, in which I consider Gedanken universe, or Gedanken kingdom, in which quantum measurements were forbidden. So we get a single universe. The many world interpretation is a theory about single physical universe, but also a single world. Because for many worlds, you have to split them. If you take a coin out of your pocket and toss it, it's not clear that you split the world. I don't think we'd know enough physics to understand if there is a really splitting in this operation. Certainly, if you make quantum measurement, the world split. And if all quantum devices are forbidden and nobody uses them, that maybe it's just one single world. In a moment, I will start talking about two worlds, and I will show what quantum measurement is. But all quantum, clearly, when we have a Schrödinger cat experiment, there are more than one world. Every time you have a wave function which splits to two different outcomes, in fact, I made an experiment, and I'm pretty sure that not one Lev Weidman working here, but at least two others, because I think all of them will kind of feel that they should come to the second lecture. I made a splitting, if you remember, by this, and every single photon detector, and which has a wave function, which has non-zero, which has less than one, but more than zero amplitude near it, will give a quantum experiment. Everything which standard textbooks will tell you, there is some probability which is between zero and one that will happen. This is a quantum experiment. Many worlds will say both happened, click and no click. Standard will say use your Born rule and will tell which one will be the only one. So if we don't have every time, we don't send spins in superposition of up and down through a Stern-Gerlach, if it's plus, we can send it in X direction because we're certain what will happen, but not in Z direction. Then there is only one big universe and one big world. And world is when all macroscopic objects are well localized. No superposition of macroscopic objects in different situations. So let's go now forward and go to two worlds. Now, in fact, Schrödinger-Ketz, the most famous situation, we have two possibilities, dead and alive. But it is not a two-world universe because we have a Geiger counter and it can click and then there is an amplitude for clicking immediately after 1 minute or after 1 hour. So, in fact, there is very many different worlds in a Schrödinger-Ketz experiment. Two-world, we need something. There are only two distinct classical outcomes because there is a difference if the cat will be killed now or 10 minutes later. So, two-world universe is this single-world universe in which somebody smuggled two detectors. In fact, one is enough. A beam splitter and single photon source. And we send a photon. And in my view, there is a one world in which A will click, another world in which B will click. In your laboratory, when you send a single photon, you will never see both of them. However, our theory tells that the wave is both there and there. And this is the situation in Alcoholism. There are two words. There are two stories. Clearly, if A clicks or B clicks, it's different. And you can decide that based on this outcome, like then I decide go left or right, you can decide all kinds of big decisions from now on, as the world for you will be very different, and for all others who will be in contact with you. One thing which I can discuss and can look in laboratory and to see, to kind of explain, there is a simple theory, but also you can make an experiment to make you feel good about this two-state, about this two-word picture, is the following. If somebody doesn't know write the equation, the fact that I say there is one lev and another lev here sounds very strange. There is only one room, there is one place. Why do I am not colliding with the other? Why he doesn't disturb me? We can do it in laboratory to see. We can send single particles in this kind of interferometer. It's not really interferometer because there is no second beam splitter. We can do it many, many times and see statistics, how many of them will come, how often, what's going on. We can, in particular, we will look here, statistic of what's going in this detector when we make many, many experiments. And now we can repeat this when we'll block the other one. So, we will see the statistics is exactly the same. Now, maybe if this is a photon experiment, it's not something very interesting because you are not expecting that one photon kind of will disturb the other one. But such a thing can be done with neutrons, and you do expect some neutron scattering. And you'll see no neutron scattering whatsoever. You run this experiment with neutrons, with or without this barrier, and you see no effect whatsoever. Of course, equation tell you, if you have superposition, that one branch and another branch have no interaction between them. But also, kind of feel good, you can work an experiment. So it's not a crazy idea that in this room there is more than just one lev, there are a few going around. They will not disturb each other. We can see it in laboratory for small particles when we can control what's going on. Okay. Now, one of the important things when we start talking about more than one word in many word interpretation is what's called preferred basis. The idea is what I said before. There are many different stories, and then there is this big superposition of many branches. And the superposition of branches in this case is branch A and branch B. A when A click and B is B click. But when we write this superposition, we can rewrite it in any other way. This is our choice of basis. We can make it, for example, another basis is plus minus. In one it's A plus B, another it's A minus B. Why this is special? Why do this decomposition? If I will not explain it, then it's kind of this theory, it's very strange. Everything counts. There is no reason why we will discuss these particular two words. We should discuss many others. And if all has the same status, then in fact any of them will not have any basis. So the basic thing here is stability. If we have an A word, we start with A. In fact, we cannot start from here. We start from photon somehow from here. And this photon will go to this direction. And there is a detector here which waits. And what I'll put, it's ready. Also, this detector is ready. And else I put environment which is ready. There is all environment which doesn't know yet what will happen. If I send this photon here, then A will click. V is click, B will do nothing, so our quantum state will be like this. Now, after a very short time, since it's a macroscopic detector, this click will be, I had this click, you had this click, so all the environment will know about A. It will be A word, the word in which detector A clicked. And this will be stable, we can wait for long, all records will remain A clicked. And based, if it's important for something, we can always rely on it. If we ask what happened in the past, it was A which clicked. Now, if instead we start with a B word, sending a single photon toward B, then we'll get the same. Now detector B will click and A will remain ready, and environment is ready, and later environment is not ready. It knows that it's B. So it's a different state of environment than state in case of A word. And it's also stable. If I start with B, B will remain B forever. Now, if we'll use any other basis of like A plus basis, in fact, maybe it's a good idea to use plus basis, because when we send the particle from here, and we can, the state which come out there, it will be A plus B. We can at least call it this way. The relative phase, the phase of B is up to us. So it really, we can say that all particles coming from here will be A plus B. Of course, if they will come from there, it will be then IA minus B. So if we start with this state, in the beginning, measuring devices were just ready. But later, what this plus mean? It's A plus B. The A part will cause V to click, detector A to click. So we'll have A, V for A, and B will be ready. And B, of course, will cause the detector B click. And environment still ready, but very quickly, environment will also know what's going on. It will make interaction with detectors. Environment probably will not see the particle. The whole idea when in this kind of experiment, it's until the detector saw it, environment will not see it, maybe very little. So this will be the state. We'll have two. We can write it in this way. It's a proposition of A word and B word. The point is that if we want to look at it in our A plus minus basis, A plus basis, it's A plus B. We have to, if we rewrite it in plus minus basis, we'll have plus basis times, in fact, superposition of all these detectors and environment in this particular state. And we'll have the same weight for the minus part. We started with plus. If we want to believe that our word is a plus word, it will not be stable. So in our world, we make our decision based on past. Things have to be stable. The past has to be stable. If it immediately became minus, we cannot say there is a plus world and minus world. We cannot have creatures which behave differently because of its because of their relative phase between distinct things. So the preferred basis is when things are well localized. If things are localized, they're stable. If they are in the superposition, we cannot any state in the superposition after because of the local interaction with the environment, with the detector, with everything, will be immediately changed to other states of the basis. So the preferred basis is a local basis. People, in fact, make very big noise out of it, the theory of the coherence. I think it's obvious. You can make your calculation, you can calculate how fast it will happen. It will happen very, very fast. But it's pretty obvious. Locality of interaction and the strength, the fact that the interaction is pretty strong, give us preferred basis. So, a word. Now, in case of these two cases, we have to define what word is. So the universe is not the word. There are two words. We have classical macroscopic object are rapidly measured by environment. In the beginning, we have this all molecules, photons, whatever, they measure all the time big objects. So they are stable. In every world, we have to know where these detectors and beam splitters sit down. Now, apart from these classical macroscopic devices, nothing is classical, things might be microscopic, or everything is quantum. There are quantum objects which are micro objects which do not interact strongly with the environment. this particle, it took time till it became entangled with things. Until the detector, it was really kind of in a pure state. So there are these other particles, which sometimes we can bring into our description of a world, and they might be in a superposition. So, in fact, in this simplified description, psi I only for macroscopic objects. If I want to be more precise, make a more detailed description of a world, maybe we should also discuss these particles, because they're important. We know, if we know that we start here, we send the particle here, it will make all kinds of predictions. We may not. We can live with just macroscopic objects, but then we have to say, every time we get this kind of clicks, this will correspond and later we'll make another clicks. What we usually see, and we don't make particular experiment, is just macroscopic object. But since many of you work in laboratory, I think it's a good idea for you also to discuss particles inside. You don't kind of disregard them. This is part of your experiment. And you can introduce them, and sometimes, and you do not have to consider them all the time localized wave packets. You know what will happen for them. Here it will be in the superposition of two localized wave packets. And there are all kinds of other particles, neutrinos, molecules, and other photons, which very weakly interact with everything. In fact, they do measure this macroscopic object because there are many of them, and they slightly measure this, but not exactly. They don't become orthogonal. Usually, we will put them all in the rest. They are not part of the... There is this big wave function of the universe, and they don't really tell us the story. And we don't want to specify them because otherwise we don't want too much specification for every word. Now, many words. This case is just two words, and it's easy to see what's going on, what is the preferred basis, because the same story will be with many. Experiment when you make many, if you just make a diffraction on a single slit and you have a big screen, and you'll get a spot somewhere. And there are many possibilities for a spot. Now, I will not say there is a continuum or infinity of words. First, you can go. There are a finite number of molecules but on a screen. Moreover, different words, if you can distinguish between spot in one place and another place, this will be a different word. And it's vague. The number of words, how many, it's up to you. If you have better devices, you can divide it for more. There is a more refined or less refined description. But clearly, in this case, there are many. Now, this many word, also, you have to divide it in such a way that they will become distinguishable. If you have a distinguishable description in macro terms, clearly it will correspond to orthogonal quantum states. Let's say you have a spot in one place and you have a spot in another place. Now, even if there is no kind of basic, if it's only one or two particles in a spot, then you will say, this is not enough. But there are many photons, if it's screen which sends many photons out, or many other particles, they may be even not orthogonal, but they at least, if there are many, the state corresponding to this event, and this event very fast will become orthogonal. And from now on, these all words are orthogonal. In the decomposition of the universal wave function into branches, branches have to be orthogonal. And that it's come automatically. If you have a different macroscopic story, it will correspond to a description in orthogonal quantum states when things are localized or slightly. If there are many changes, they are only maybe slightly changed. Still, if there are many molecules and they all slightly change their quantum state, these two possibilities will correspond to multiple situations. Locality and strength of the interaction to numerous particles ensure stability of all worlds. So I believe that preferred basis is some people do consider it as a problem in many world interpretation. Sounds that locality and strength of interaction fix it very simply. In every example, the localization happens very fast. States become very orthogonal to each other very fast when they are macroscopically different. And this is necessary because if the other guy who is walking here is not really orthogonal to me, then there will be all kinds of things, strange things happening. But in the moment, in fact, it's enough that this other guy will be orthogonally even for 1 degree of freedom of something. Then I will not feel it. I can go through and you will not see any you will not see any disturbance in my behavior, no scattering. Even if it's in a pure state, it will not exactly scattering, but there will be interference. But if the other one is correlated to something else, there will be no interference. So the picture, kind of, one can draw a picture. We started with Zoom. That was some single word, and there are all kinds of measurements, and every measurement changed to different alternatives. And let's say this is a particular world in which I'm here now. Now, I can trace down this world, and it will be one world. This, maybe until now, it's kind of just one world and nothing else. From now on, it's what I remember. This history is common to two different worlds, and more. Now, I have some partial information on what's around me. I can kind of think what's going here. If I remember that I made a quantum measurement, I know at least one I remember. I split myself in three in the first lecture. There are three others. This I'm sure. Every time you know you went to a laboratory and made experiment, you know there are parallel worlds with these outcomes. How many more? It's hard to know. If you you flip the coin, toss the coin, you have to study physics of this flipping, and you have to see if there are quantum effects there or not. It's not clear. This is, I can, in making this beam splitter and detector, I'm sure that I split the world. Now, it might be that there are many effects which are still quantum even in coin toss. I doubt. I don't know enough physics for this. In real life, what I'm pretty sure, here the all lights are okay. If light will be kind of broken and it will start flip, this is a quantum effect. Then there is a splitting all the time. Because if I see how many times I will see this broken light flip, flicks, this change might change my behavior. But otherwise, it's just a real physics can study if there are the separation to different branches or we don't have them. A test of many worlds. Many people say many worlds, why to consider it? It's kind of some formality. It's something not testable. In a sense, it's not, I cannot tell you that we can test many worlds. I definitely will tell you that it's wrong to say that many worlds is not testable. It can be distinguished between all kinds of things. The first, well, what should I do for testing many worlds? I should make an experiment which split into two worlds. It's better to make as not to go too far. I have to discuss it with people who believe in collapse, people who believe when the measurement is finished. And I have to press them hard. Tell me, what it's enough? Is it enough that some big piece of dust got in two different places? Or I need a big photomultiplier. I have to write it down. I have to human being being conscious about the outcome of experiment. And as little as he tells me, if he will agree that it's enough just to put 10 to the 5 particles moving one direction, another direction, this is enough for collapse. Then I will try to reverse this. If he is stubborn, he says, no, until the human being will not see it or will not understand it, so I will have to work much more harder. What I will have to do, I will have to reverse all what was done. I have to make a device which can reverse, undo the measurement, erase the memory, do everything backward, take unitary evolution and put it back in time. Also, in addition, small change, instead of detector, instead of a source, I have to put here two detectors. Now, if I reverse everything and send it back, I should expect that this one will click and not this one will click. Also, it's a good idea to do it several times. Maybe one time there is, I'm just lucky because there is a 50% for both, even if many words is not true. Because many words will tell me that both things happened. So when I reverse this, then what is really going on? Oops, slowly. Then two of them go here, and then they with certainty interfere towards this part. If I believe in any of the collapse theory, I believe that there are no many words. No, because I have the opposite to many words, it means that one of them do not exist. Exists only one in which you saw it. So the other one does not exist. If other one does not exist, when this one comes here, it has 50-50 chance to go both here and here. So essentially, if I make an experiment which people will say should cause a collapse, and I can reverse it and see no collapse, this tells me that the idea that there was a collapse is incorrect. My feeling that, in fact, the proof is not on my side. The others should prove it. Because I say the current physics we know is correct. Somebody else tells me, no, there is something else. There is kind of a collapse which... There are all kinds of strange theory for this, and there is no, as far as I know, any good theory. If he claims that there is something new, please show me. And until today, we didn't see any experimental evidence for collapse. Moreover, we continue to make interference with bigger and bigger objects, and no collapse was seen. So, Bucky balls with 60, 70 molecules, I understand that's the biggest object until now. But also the fact that there is a superconductivity and all this, it also tells us that collapse is not the number of particles. No one has seen collapse in laboratory yet. So the only, there is no evidence that there are no many worlds. There is no evidence that quantum mechanics is incorrect. And quantum mechanics tell us, If we believe quantum mechanics, the wave split in two and it's come here and we know the interaction here. For one, we understand it. And if there is superposition, and superposition, Schrödinger equation correct, superposition principle is correct, there should be two of them. So there is a possibility, at least in principle, to test it many words against a single collapse theory. It looks like there is no way to distinguish between many worlds and Bohm. Although, because Bohm says that the wave function is there, it behaves as it behaves. In addition, there are all kinds of other particles. So what we measure in laboratory, in fact, these wave functions. And Tomulka told you that the wave function is ontological, but the position are also ontological. In fact, it's a primary, it's a prime ontology. If I'm trying to be Bohmian, I'm kind of black and white. I say, okay, there is a wave function. It's clearly ontology. It's part of a theory. And there are positions. It's also ontology. And only position correspond to my experience. I do not experience wave function. I think it's very important because if I do experience wave function, there are in Bohmian theory, there are all these empty waves. And we cannot know that what I'm talking to you now, that I'm not an empty wave. Empty wave behave exactly in the same way like non-empty wave. So I think it's crucial for Bohmian really to say that only particles have experience. Like people experience only particles. Because otherwise, what's the point? Why to make Bohmian theory, its many word interpretation for something else? Why to make it more complicated? It's unnecessary. I have some thoughts that if we consider surrealistic trajectories, which I understand Tomulka didn't mention, sometimes Bowman trajectory doesn't look like what you would believe from quantum mechanics. Not always Everett words and Bowman words are the same. In some special situation when you play, when you make your measuring device like spin flips and you look on them later, then you can see in your laboratory it looks like quantum mechanics tells you it's here, but it was really in some other place. If you can, clearly only in a Gedanken experiment, to make this surrealistic experiment on a large scale, then maybe the feeling of this to your, with people, then humans might feel differently because they're supposed to feel surrealistic trajectories and not the quantum trajectories. Maybe in this way there is kind of a way to distinguish between Bowman and the many worlds. But, okay, if this is science fiction, because for a stubborn person who says that collapse happened only when something happened in your eye. And once I and Dave Albert had a paper against, kind of against, a collapse interpretation of GRW, which we mentioned that, and did you have something about collapse theories, or in this course it was only on the previous course? No? At least I remember I was listening to Tomulka talk, and he did mention this collapse theory. According to this collapse theory, once upon the time, every particle multiplied by Gaussian. Pretty wide Gaussian. So if it's atom is here and not in another, if the pointer is here and it's just excited, some particles excited, the collapse will do nothing. It will be multiplied by a Gaussian, which is wider than the wave function itself. So the wave function will not be changed. This is like I said, if there is only one word, collapse will do nothing, except for some other particles. So then I said that if we make a Stern-Gerlach experiment, and the experiment is such that it hits the screen and only photons come out. It hits the screen and makes a spot. We see many excited atoms here. Maybe when photons come out, things are different. Many atoms changed, macroscopic number of atoms in Stern-Gerlach experiment. Let's say here, there is a screen, macroscopic number of atoms excited there or here. They still remain in the same place. They're not, which one of excited is different. Now, in this, it looks like collapse happened. We have macroscopic number of atoms in different states. If we look on it, we'll see there is a black spot on a photographic plate. However, the collapse will do nothing. Collapse will not happen yet. The answer was that it's probably correct, but when you look at it, and when it will come to your eye, and when your neurons will move, they consulted some specialist of brain, and they say that in the process of neuron moving, there are real things which are moving there. It's not just kind of excitation. So the collapse, the GRW collapse, will happen inside the brain. From my point of view, if it's happened so far, I'm not sure I need it. But again, the experience is the same experience. So if some people will say that the collapse happens only when a human really understands it. Then it will be very difficult for me to make an experiment trying to say that he is wrong. I will have to make interference experiments with human beings. There are two levels. First, it's one has to carefully look on physics and to see if there are really two quantum different branches. Maybe there are classical, and it's just depending on some classical initial macroscopic condition what you get. But then there is some also other things. If the whole splitting, and I had some couple of questions about splitting of worlds. The concept of world is not a concept of physics. Like here, when I sent this, universe didn't split in any way whatsoever. What happened? The wave function get a particular form. If I look on it, I have a very clear way how to decompose it to two branches, which are, the fact that they are orthogonal, this is not enough. There are many, many ways to decompose the orthogonal. Branches which correspond to some stable stories. Now, when exactly it happened? Clearly not here. Here there is just one particle in superposition. No one will say that this is... If I consider only macroscopic states, it has to be when these detectors start clicking. Now, when exactly? If when 10,000 electrons change their state here, is it enough or not? It's up to you. More or less, it's very important for me if I want to prove you that it didn't happen. If it just 100 particles change its state, I have a chance to reverse it. When it's 10 to the 20, forget it, we'll never have this technology. But it's only the story. Branches, it's not a physical process. Every time, this is why I say it's not clear about the coin. Every time when there is something which you clearly make different situation, click or not click, you can write it down in a different story. Oh, now there is a branching for us. But sometimes maybe it just moved to little to the left and to the right, and then later really I will do completely different things because the molecule kind of kicking my eye and changing, and I don't know. There is no clear answer when the branching happened. There is no definite answer. It's not question. It's a vague concept. All splitting of worlds is a vague concept. But in this case, it's clear. These are at least two. Maybe there are more than two, because you'll say when this clicks, it's kind of a very loud click. It's different when this click is not a loud click. And then, so maybe more than two. Yes. Electrons might be well entangled. And then they'll kick the detector here and kick the detector here. Now, if you measured, for example, here up, if a CPR state, and you measure here X and you measure here X, from now on, there will be two words. Up, down, down, up. Now, if I measured here X and you measured there Y, there will be four words. Up X, up Y, up X, down Y, down X, up Y, down X, up Y. In every case, when you finished your measurement, this is all definite. Macroscopic, you cannot have a measuring device in a superposition. You can write it down, but I will not call it a different word. Again, the wave function, no pain. It will write everything in a superposition. Now, I come here and try to make a description. Things which are entangled, when macroscopic states are entangled, I will not call it in a word. Maybe one of the kind of pictorial things which I thought maybe there might be kind of entangled creatures, conscious beings, which are non-local. And my example, why I think that locality of interaction kills it. You cannot even think about this. But let's say the interaction would be different. They are not so strong. So we don't localize things very fast. Still, my example is that let's say that creatures are in a superposition. That to me, it's really one here plus superposition is there. Why I believe that this kind of me will not well live, live well? Because I like tea very much, and I drink probably 10, 20 cups of tea a day. If I'm in my world, I need these 20 cups. But if I eat here and here, I will need 40 cups. There is no way to bring a cup of tea to me in a superposition. If I am A plus B and you bring me a cup of tea A plus B, I will not get A plus B B. This is what I need. I'll get all kind of four terms. So things in superposition, not feasible that there can't be a life in a superposition. Locality kills it immediately, but even without local in some other universe, when the strength of interaction is smaller and things are not become localized so fast, also. Not much chance for this. Okay. Let me go forward. We have this big wave function. Let's say this is a wave function and this is this experiment. And if there is any difference, the whole, many words, as I said, we have this universal wave function, Schrödinger equation, and the main task is to make correspondent to our experience. So let's consider two cases. This experiment, and then later I look on the outcome. In one experiment, I put one beam splitter. This beam splitter, in fact, makes mostly reflective. Or I will put another beam splitter, which is mostly transmitting. So we have these two options. And I consider two particular worlds in both cases when B clicked. So it's all the same. The only difference, this psi B, the wave function of B world, it's exactly the same like here. The only difference is amplitude near it. Will I feel any difference? Some naive things say, what's about conservation of mass, energy, or whatever. Whatever amplitude of the world, the mass of all particles remains the same. When you run in your laboratory electron, even the electron which is very small amplitude on the left, you will put the same magnet to bend its trajectory like on the right thing. All properties are really of all things the same. I will not weigh less or more. I will not feel in any way different. So, there is kind of a difference, but does the amplitude do something to me? This will bring us to the next important topic, which is the probability. But before, I just want to mention that this notation, when I have, this was a width, kind of amplitude of a word, and this I kind of mentioned, which word is actual and which word am I here. This picture might suggest with some people trying to do this kind of many word interpretation, but they say that really there are multiple words of the same kind. Even the same story, but it corresponds to many, many infinite number of words. Now, every time there is a splitting, some of these infinity go to the left, some of them go to the right, or very large number. So I'm like one of these words in this state. At least in my understanding, this is no way. There is no way to say that there are many words. There is only one. And so the correct picture, which I would like, is just this picture. There is this big word, fat, which started, let's say, if it's just the beginning of the universe, just one. And then it split in two. And then this was, let's realize, this was not realized for me. Both of them were realized, but let's say I live in this one. But it's not in any particular inside. There are not many of the same. There is only one with different weight. Words have different weights. It doesn't affect any kind of thing which I can make in a normal laboratory. I hope I will come to some kind of Gedanken experiment in which this weight does matter. But until now, in any normal way, I will not feel the difference. So, let's come to probability. I looked on... Yes?
Sorry, the weight is zero for the world.
If the weight is zero, I say the world doesn't exist. Yes. So the world exists when it's not zero.
Yeah.
Epsilon? So it exists very little. There are all kinds of ways with probability. Now I talk about probability. And the beginning of probability is all kinds of ideas. When it's very small, it doesn't exist. I don't want to say it's very, when it's very small, it's very small. I don't understand. Period. That doesn't mean it doesn't exist. Probability. I understand that you are now a specialist on probability. You had like at least 4 weeks on probability theory. So I cannot tell you anything new. Just this is what I saw in Wikipedia. In standard encyclopedia philosophy, it's kind of value. This is what interpreting probability is a commonly used but misleading name for a worse enterprise. The so-called interpretation of probability would better called analysis of various concepts of probability. And I think it's important to have it in mind, because very frequently people disagree, because what they mean are really very different things. The classical probability of an event is simply the fraction of the total number of possibilities in which this event occurs. This something is clear. Not always you can apply it. This is some kind of logical probability. What's important here is that philosophers do put an equal weight for different outcomes, because this is important for many world interpretation. And for logical probability, this probability people consider it is completely okay. There is a frequency interpretation, which I think discussed a lot and has all kinds of problems, which I'm not ready to buy it. Propensity, disposition of tendency of given type of physical situation to yield an outcome of a certain kind. Maybe quantum mechanics respond to this. What's this? I'm not sure. I read Putnam several papers and I never got what you get out of it anyway. Important. And then there is subjective probability, which I think will be more relevant to us. Degrees of confidence, of credit, so partial beliefs of suitable agents. And I think people kind of say that this is a good definition. They say, oh, it's not clear what probability is, but the betting interpretation of definity, most people will buy. Your degree of belief in E is P if and only if P units of utility is the price at which you would buy or sell a bet that pays one unit of utility E or zero if not E. And at the time you discussed it a lot. So before talking about probability in many world interpretation, which I think is kind of a difficult subject, I consider a kind of Gedankean classical many worlds. Let's say we have a teleportation. This is a quantum teleportation. Quantum teleportation is you destroy one, you create another one, just moving. Classical teleportation, it's you send fax. And if you're sending fax, you can send to many places. So out of one, you create many. So now you make teleportation to different planets of a person, and you create all these planets very, very symmetrical. Everything is symmetrical. The same planet, the same. So you have many, many symmetric copies, which nothing distinguished between them. If nothing distinguished between them, I think it's very natural just to say that the teleportation of this kind completely not physical, because you cannot send mass whatever. Standard teleportation, it's a fax. You measure what it is, and you then destroy your copy and create others. In fact, in classical case, you don't have to destroy the copy, but then things will not be symmetrical. So I will destroy it, and then we'll have this symmetrical situation. In the symmetrical situation, I think that later you kind of trying to ask what is the probability that I will find myself in a particular place. Even I know that I will be in all of them. I will be teleported to all these different stars. They all look identical. Maybe sometimes outside I can identify which one it is. If they all, I don't see any other number which I can put. Everything is identical, should be 1/8 possibilities. Now, this probability is problematic. Let's say even two cases. I teleport to two places. Usually probability which is kind of understandable. What's the probability that A will happen? It means that B will not happen. Probability of an event, A It should be that A or not A. A or B, that's A or B. In this case, both A and both B happened. So, probability of the kind of a standard kind, classical, whatever, it's not that we have several different, many possibilities and one of them realized. Doesn't work like this. Both of them realized. So, here A and B. There is nothing to be ignorant about. Ignorance, it's, I think, is very important. This I understand. If something is, I'm ignorant about some situation, there are several outcomes, if I kind of shuffle, so they're all probable, then I can understand. But there is no ignorance here. I know it will be both A and B. The same. Completely identical situation. So no ignorance, no randomness, no probability. But betting, let's say I can put bet and then the outcome of a bet will come to me later, to this A or to the other B. I think with betting I have all kinds of good reasons to believe, to bet. I can, and I think in case of betting, I think one half is reasonable. So in this case, the probability 1/2 A and 1 B in case of betting, it's kind of... It makes some sense. Now, I want to say that when out of one come more than one, they will have some measure of existence. In this case, there is a symmetry. So A and B will have the same measure of existence, and I can call them one. Essentially, there are two of me, so the total measure of existence is two. Now I also have situation when the measure of existence is not exactly the same. If I have a splitting, this will be in, let's say, in one galaxy, and this will be in another galaxy, all stars, the same stars, but three stars in one and five stars in another one. So for galaxy A, I will say the measure of existence is five, because there are five of me, and three in another galaxy. So this concept, kind of natural, they're not very philosophically robust, but they will help me later. They will help me to deal with probability in the many worlds, because many worlds has many problems with probability. Probability given by the number of worlds yields wrong prediction. It's one problem. Because if I have a beam splitter which is not 50-50, then there is a one word and another word. I was saying that it's wrong to think there is an infinite here and infinite here. Now there are only two. And I should bet, if I'm kind of reasonable to bet, after I bought this beam splitter, I know it tells me 9-1. I should bet 9-1. But many words tell me, oh, there is this and this. Half-half. Another problem is kind of people say, why I can just go to my laboratory, write down, make many times this experiment, or you can use my site for splitting, and write down at a number, you can decide which number to write for lottery. Now, I'm sure all numbers will be written in particular universe. So in every time that I do not get the lottery ticket, I'm not a millionaire, I'll kill myself. In this way, the only left which will remain will be rich one. I'm not necessarily happy, but at least rich one. I'm sure many words will tell me I'm sure that there is one. I'm very confident that my many words is correct. So it looks like I should make this strange behavior, and I should not do this if the lottery is classical. If I do it classically, then it looks like I might die. But in this way, I'm sure I certainly will. So, and in fact, all these problems are small problems. And the main problem is what I kind of saying in the previous question. The problem is that for probability, I need randomness. Or I need at least ignorance. And in this experiment, I'm not ignorant of anything. Both A and B happened, and I know everything. I know the whole description of experiment is given to me. So if I'm not ignorant and there is no randomness here, how can I put the meaning of probability? In textbook collapse, in GRW, there is randomness by definition. In Bohm, there is ignorance. Bohm is deterministic, but there is ignorance. If Schrödinger, we have this wave function, it remains this kind of wave function. This psi, a word, may change, evolve, and this may evolve, but this is all remain all the same. This is experiment when I make a measurement, and then I decide if I see B, I will move toward here. See A, I will move toward here. In Schrödinger, they all come together, everything deterministic, and everything is known. I know that this is what will happen. My wave function will split to two localized wave packets, one here and one there. If in collapse, I will move here or there. There will be collapse. It will not stay like this. It will jump to one of them. So I have a concept of probability, A or B. In Bohm theory, I don't know how much you got these details, but in fact it's very simple. If you make this experiment, all that you have this wave packet, and it's 9 to 1, just look on 10% in the bottom. If the Bohmian particle start in the bottom, it will come down. If the Bohmian particle start here, it will come up. And it's just ignorance. You don't know. In the Bohmian adaptation, we know we can measure wave function. We cannot know what is the Bohmian position. So it's our ignorance about Bohmian position. Everything deterministic, but we are ignorant about position. So we have a good meaning for probability. But in many words, in Schrödinger equation, when there is no anything of the kind, we have a real problem. And I believe it's a serious problem. So I think we should give up probability. Probability in the sense of A or B. And we don't even... So essentially, I say no probability in many words. But we have to do something. What I suggest is to replace it by behavioral principle. We should care about future words every time we have this kind of situation according to the measure of existence. And measure of existence, exactly this alpha square. Kind of a Born rule, but I say it's not a Born rule. There's no Born. Everything happened. There's no meaning for probability. Everything happened. But it's for us important because it kind of will be more of me here than there, in some sense. So I care more about these words in which I'm more. So in this Russian roulette, I will not do what I just said because I will be very big word, very fat word with large measure of existence in which I am dead. And I care, I'm supposed to care for all of them, and in proportion to their measure of existence. There will be very, some of the amplitude of not getting the right number in the lottery will be very large. Now, I will bet properly. My bet will be proper, because I care about, I just put it by hand, essentially. Now, I say, first, one can live with it. In fact, I think standard quantum mechanics does exactly this. They take Born rule, put it postulate, and from now on, behave like this. Although there is a meaning. They can understand there is a probability if you can kind of feel what it is. Here there is no probability because everything has happened. But I also postulate the same thing. So I don't think I'm too far from the other thing. But I also can add all kind of... First, as I said, I will behave normally, not play Russian roulette. But in fact, I will behave as if I have a concept of probability. Even if I don't, I say no probability. Everything is deterministic, so there is no concept of probability. But I can do a little more. So first, I should bet as if I have a concept of probability because my descendants have ignorance probability meaning. You remember, I think one of the good definitions is betting. So now, using on this kind of betting, I can present you an argument why it's kind of rational for me to behave, to use this my behavior principle. Again, I don't say exactly why it's a born rule, but it has a meaning. I will find somebody who is ignorant. The probability, essentially, which I understand, is the ignorance probability, when someone doesn't know what will happen. And my problem is that when I make a quantum experiment, I know everything. So I have to find somebody who does not know, so he can say it's A or B. He doesn't know the outcome, because I know it will be both A and B. And then I will call this ignorance probability according to this, exactly this measure of existence. And the story is what's called what I call sleeping pill experiment. How I introduce something, some effective probability in a place where it really doesn't exist. The experiment is the following. The same experiment run 9-to-1 beam splitter detector, but it's not that I'm looking at the outcome. I'm taking a sleeping pill before the experiment. I remember exactly what's going on, that I'm going, this experiment will be performed. And I ask that somebody will move me to place B or to place A according to the outcome of the experiment. Now, so after some time, this is the situation. And somebody come to one of me and ask, what is the probability that you are in A? Now, I kind of know quantum mechanics, know the postulate, and so I will say, first, there is a meaning. I might be in A or in B. I still don't know. Maybe I didn't open my eyes, or maybe this the place is identical here and here, just in different places. So I have really, there is a matter of fact for me being in A or not being in A. I can define, there is an ignorance probability. So this guy can say he has a concept of probability. Now, he will accept the concept of probability of quantum mechanics. He will take this 0,9 according to this principle. And this guy, in fact, will say exactly the same. Because he knows he has the same memory. He doesn't know where he is. Probability for him to be in A, it's also 0.9. Now, if I make betting, the betting will be for these guys, because I before will not exist anymore. If betting that he will get some ice cream or not get ice cream, whatever, according to the outcome, it's these guys will get. Now, this guy have a good reason to kind of bet. It may happen or may not happen. They can get or not get if they're right or wrong. They have good meaning. So for them, there is a meaning of probability. And it's the same, both the same thing exactly. The claim, their claims are exactly the same. So I think it's rational to bring this notion of probability, which is now correct notion, there is an ignorance probability, to the one before the experiment. So I say that me before the experiment, I will bet according to these outcomes, not because there is a probability, there will be no probability. But my bets are for my descendants. My descendants, if they don't immediately see the outcomes, they have the concept of probability. They don't have to be moved. If you make a quantum experiment, it will take some time before you realize what's happened. The splitting, kind of macroscopic splitting, will happen before. So I will bet for them. So since all the descendants have the same answer, we can relate it to me. Before the experiment, I put my bet for descendants. They have probability. Thus, my bet is for a probabilistic event. This is ignorance probability, meaning of the meaning of the measure of existence. Now, one interesting point. Only these guys have this concept of ignorance probability. If I am omnipotent, if there is God, he doesn't have it. Because he's the only way to define this guy. The guy in B. The guy in B has probability 1 to be in B, 0 to be in A. Only I, this identity, have this meaning. Now, not much time, and this is really Gedanken's story, but I think it's an interesting story. It looks like this is kind of a measure, you redefine it, there is a way to define it. This is an argument how to put a probability inside. But it is for future. So now I live in a particular world. It has some measure of existence. I think this measure of existence is important. When I split the board in two, I will bet according to this measure of existence for my future world. Does it have any meaning of the current measure of existence? I'm in this world. Is it important for me if it will be bigger or smaller? And I have a very Gedankian experiment in which a current measure of existence will be important for me. I might behave differently. So is there a physical meaning for the present world? The intelligent bit was the future world, and now I want about the and now I talk about the present world. I consider the following situation. I run this experiment. One more. I have a beam splitter, two detectors, and I run it. And now no one bets with me. So there is no meaning for me to run this, but I'm bored or I want to test equipment, whatever. I run the experiment. And I will get one of the outcomes. Let's say I got this outcome B. It doesn't matter for me if it's B or A. So the only difference is that when I got B, my measure of existence is pretty small. There is a copy of me which has a measure of existence 9 times bigger than I. This is what I know. But why should I care? All right, this is probably a bit... Okay. So I see in the window, in fact, what happened. This was even before my running the experiment. I see this big noise, and then after this I looked in the window, I saw some kind of very strange device. And then a strange creature enters the room and tells me that he came from another galaxy. You don't know about it, but it's 10 billion years more older than ours. And this laboratory is nothing what he can do. And he can do whatever he wants. He takes... He brings a cat and kills it and resurrects it, makes a Schrödinger cat experiment, shows that he can make superposition interference experiment with macroscopic objects. That he has technology which we can only dream about it. And he proves it. I see that he has this technology. And he says that, look, I have all this technology, but I'm bored now. And I like betting. And he asked me if I'm ready to bet. And he tells me, look, I see you have this nice device for betting. He says, will you ready to bet on this? I can see maybe he doesn't know what a beam splitter I put there, which is kind of strange. But he says he's ready to bet 1-to-1. When I know that I have a beam splitter, it's 9-to-1. So it looks like I should immediately accept the bet. Because he put 1-to-1 when I know that the beam splitter is 9-to-1, so I can put on A, which is more probable, and put equal money. Sounds good for me. And the point is that if I'm in a B man, on the previous experiment, I got the outcome B. And I remember that, in fact, I did it after the big noise I had outside. So I know that the guy was already here around. I should say no. If I'm a B, I should say I will not play with you. If I'm an A, I should say yes. Kind of, I believe that he's honest. I make this assumption. Why I should say no if for B and A, yes for A? Because I can consider myself as a super technology for my neutron in my laboratory. And I can send my neutron through a beam splitter, which is 9-to-1. And then this neutron here on the way here, and I can try to make a bet with him, with the neutron. And the point is that if I make this neutron thinks this is a beam splitter, which is probability 90%, he goes through. So he's supposed to be ready to play with me bets. But I can make an interferometer. I can bring this 0.9 of this neutron, of his copy, and make destructive interference toward here. It's only this will happen. Now, if I'm this neutron, then I shouldn't care too much. Because he has super technology. He can bring this my copy, but my copy is too small. My copy cannot change significantly the interference. I say that I will pass through, I thought it will be 90, okay, it will be max. Maybe it's only 64, it's still better than 50. I still should bet. Because it depends what's going on, interference of different words. If it's a big word, it has a higher possibility of interference. Okay. Let's skip this just to say that if you go to literature about many words today, there is a lot of literature how to get a Born rule out of many words. I'm not Deutsch. Deutsch, who is a very important figure in many words, says that he has a theory how from rationality you can get Born rule out. I say there are many arguments which are very interesting and relevant. However, they are not better in many word interpretations than any other interpretation. So there is no point really to look, to consider it as a... It's more or less what I did for classical word. So let's not look on it, plus some causality. So let's go to conclusion and maybe to some application, at least from me application. Conclusion about probability. There is no real probability in many word interpretation. Probability of event is replaced by measure of existence of the word with this event, and probability postulate is replaced by behavior principle. Now, measure of existence of future word can be given a meaning as an ignorance probability of a descendant of the observer. Even without this, I just can postulate, but this, I think, gives me much more. Now I say, okay, I behave normally. How in this world I have justification. This story helps me to bring some meat to kind of a. There is no real probability. Everything happened, but I found some ignorance probability and in the relevant places. When I make betting, I'm betting for my descendants. My descendants have this real concept of probability. Measure of existence of a present world has a physical meaning as a measure of ability to interfere with parallel worlds. Now, a couple of things which, again, the main thing for many word interpretation for me, and the reason, no randomness, no action at a distance. In all physics, we don't have such a thing, and I would like to believe that I can understand physics around, and since randomness and action at a distance, I don't have a good theory, I have to take it out for any kind of candidate for description of the universe. But also it helps me in my kind of research of some other things. I'm not many people kind of agree with this. It helps me for the understanding of what's called Sleeping Beauty controversy. There are kind of at least 10 papers on this issue. It's a probability story. Beauty is sleep. She's awake on Monday and maybe on Tuesday. It depends on a result of a fair coin toss. If it's tails, she is awake also on in this case, she's awake only on both Tuesday and Monday, and she always is awake on Monday. This is a fair coin. It turned out that people fight each other about what is the right outcome. What should Sleeping Beauty say for her credence? What her credence for tails or heads? She's awake and she's asked, tails or heads? What are your credence for tails or heads? She doesn't know if it's Monday or Tuesday. Moreover, after Monday, she gets some special pills she doesn't remember. On Tuesday, when she's asked, she doesn't remember if she was asked before. So it looks like there are three possibilities. If there are three possibilities, so she can kind of decide this is one third and these are two thirds. But there are all kind of philosophical or other reasons that in classical physics they all half of the people say, no, it's half, because it's a fair coin, and there is a no new center of information when she gets, so she cannot, she knows that it's fair coin, so she has to say half. In first, I say that if I replace my fair coin by a quantum coin, clearly should be no difference. In my quantum coin, I have three possibilities, this measure of existence, and this. This and this are clearly the same, and this is clear, are clearly the same. So where I see this one third kind of immediately, because probability when something happened, it's hard to argue. And so, probably I will not go else about, I don't know, should I finish now or still have 5 minutes, like?
Five minutes,
okay. So then I will finish in, clearly in 5 minutes. Interaction-free measurement, which, although it's, interaction-free measurement, when I was thinking, some of them probably heard about it, it put me kind of that it's really paradoxical feature. Interaction-free measurement is the following task. We have an object which is 100% efficient detector. And it's an efficient detector for everything. Every particle touches it, it explodes. And our task is to find it without exploding it. It looks like it's impossible, but it turned out that the Mach-Zehnder interferometer does it very simply. If I make this Mach-Zehnder interferometer, tune it in such a way that it cannot come here, and I suspect that it might be here, and I run it, and I'm lucky that in 1/4 of cases on the first run, I will get a click here, and I will know that there is something here. What's paradoxical about this is that I can claim that the photon never was here. So I get information about some place without being there. And I believe that everything is local. It looks like maybe there is one place in the universe that no one never been there. I put around this Mach-Zehnder interferometer, I send my photon, and I got this click. And I get information about some place without being there. From my point of view, this is impossible. It contradicts all my physical senses of locality. If I believe in many word interpretation, I say, oh, the reason why it's so strange for you, because you don't think about the whole universe. Your intuition is intuition of a physicist. Physics, this physical law describes universe, all words together. If you look on all words together, it is not true that no one was there. There is a parallel world in which something, it was an explosion there. So there is no paradox when you look on all together. If I'm kind of a collapsed person and I make this experiment, I got this click and say, no, there is no parallel world, then something extremely paradoxical happened in nature. So I need this for a good feeling. So I'll finish with this. If people didn't look for my entries, this is the beginning of it, that this is my reason why I believe in many world interpretations. The main reason is that I can believe that all physics is nice. It doesn't have, I can take out randomness and action at a distance, because in all physics which you learn in school, university, no randomness, no action at a distance. The only place is this collapse. Until I will see evidence for collapse, I will not bring these new ingredients in my description of nature. Thanks. Again, the world, there is one big physical universe and nothing happened to it, it remains the same. Now, if I make an experiment like with a beam splitter and detector, when I make a beam splitter only, then a microparticle in the superposition. In my chart, then I said I don't care about microparticles. Macroscopic objects should be well localized. Now, when my device clicked, this is also have to be in definite state. It clicked, it usually it will put some pointer or whatever. Every pointer should be well localized. So according to Schrödinger equation, from now on there is a superposition of wave pointer here and here. I say this is not a word. In a word, in each word, they should be well localized. So I will separate it. I say from now on there are more words. In one like this and one like this. But again, no physical, from physics point of view, it's just unitary evolution. It's just my description. Description, in my description, this definition of a word, all macroscopic objects, this is up to you what's called laparoscopic, macroscopic, are well localized. Pointers of detectors are clearly macroscopic. So in the moment I have my, they are not well localized in my universal wave function, I will separate to several words. Yes? No?
Yeah, well, I it's about worlds also, but I'm not exactly sure if I can say that. So I'm wondering how realist I should be about these worlds. You say it's just sort of arbitrary and vague about how you describe it. It's just a description. It's just a narrative. It's a story, right? It's almost a different word. But I'm sort of trying to imagine what this looks like, and it seems like I'm supposed to, you know, that it's all piled up in the same space and time. So the universe, the whole actual big universe, is just looks quite different than the kind of experience that I have.
Right.
So, I mean, because it seems like there's two ways you could go. You could either say, yeah, there's just this huge universe, and you'll never see any effects from it. But it just looks really different than your experience. Or you could go this sort of other, more anti-realist route and say, look, this is just a great way to describe different stories to explain what kind of outcomes you have in experiments involving quantum mechanics. So I don't know if you prefer one of those. Like, should I really take this existence seriously and buy that problem about never having empirical access? Or should I sort of take the more anti-realist route and not worry too much about the fact that I can't access them because it was just a story?
My basic, the beginning, and the whole, the project, I want to describe, I live here, I knew that, I see all kind of, I have experience. Now I want to find what is the theory behind it. So I look for physics, and there is a beautiful physical theory which tells me almost everything. 100 years ago, people thought that they explained everything, and they were mistaken. Today, most of people are afraid to say so. But I want to believe so. I want to believe that today's physics roughly explain everything. And explain everything for me, I don't want to talk about measurements. There is everything, I just want to say how it corresponds to my experience. And I have this big picture. Unfortunately, I say this big picture doesn't show me this experience, my experience. But I have, not so easy, but relatively straightforward way to find this experience in this big picture. It also tells me something unwanted. There are other experiences. Okay, I have to live with it if I want this big picture. You said outcome of measurement stories. It's just I have to, I have this big universe with one equation which seems not to contradict anything which I'm seeing, telling me something else. I have to, all this, I need these stories to make correspondence, how I'll discuss these things. But I don't want to attach too much importance for them. What's important? It's just physics, which is a wave function, and my experience. Sometimes I transform it like experiment outcome in a laboratory. Sometimes just my feeling, my everything. I have to experience is everything. And all what I know is, does not contradict to the assumption that, in fact, there is only one big wave function.
So would you say that you're not really committed to either of those positions? That you that you're not ready to say that either they really exist in a way that I can't.
What exists? There isn't.
But that's what I'm asking. I can't. What was your criteria for existence?
Exist. Some people said I'm kind of committed. People said that what Newton said, there are particles and they're moving in space, and this is what exists. What I say is there is a wave function evolving according to unitary evolution. This is what ontologically exists. This is ontology of physical theory. I didn't enter there are the gauge invariants, this Bayes, there are all kind of, I have to define, there are all kind of tricky things. The wave function is not, it's a little overdefined. It's basically wave functional, all these details. But apart from the details, the ontology is a wave function. They exist as if people would say classical universe in which particles exist. And I just have to connect to experience. It's not my particles, it's the wave function. I'm a localized wave packet. And I can see how I behave with another localized wave packet. This is also localized. Everything is a localized wave packet. So I think I have a... Okay, last question, because...
Someone does a splitting experiment in Australia. How long does it take for a splitting to reach us here in
the room here? It's a physics question, because if somebody will call you by a fiber or by satellite, then it will be, then you know when it comes. You know that it will not come before the light can come here. But if nobody will call you and nothing will happen, it may come maybe a few hours later. Again, there is also a consistent picture to believe that if in another planet, which is 1 hour light from here, whatever, somebody made experiment and split things in two, okay, I can believe, oh, he's in a superposition. In my language, I say from now on there are more words, because I don't like to describe things in a superposition. I don't like to describe Schrödinger cats. Schrödinger cat from me, okay, there are two words. He is alive and he is dead. And there are many because he's dead in different times. But again, it's consistent also to be like with Everett, who was really relative to an observer. Then if something happened far away, it didn't come to him, the world didn't split. The universe, his world, yes. I said... If I have a technology, look... Particles which I can reverse in my laboratory, I will never say there are two worlds. Oh, unless kind of, you know, if some people have a technology to make a reversal, we will have to change the language. Because it's kind of, if I can, it's important, I cannot call in this world I'm here, but then later there will be interference with this other world. It's okay. In the world which I have access to my laboratory, technology sometimes will be such that I can enter a machine which bring me to one experience, to another experience, and then to make interference between myself. So I think I will analyze myself. Oh, there is a kind of two different stories which I experienced, but it's still probably... it's a language. It's up to you. You can play with it. Thank you.